Just Scott, and you're listening to Stuart Pink on The Drive on Phoenix FM.
Yes, it is. And I'm delighted to say, zooming onto the show all the way from the other side of the pond, is Just Scott, a.k.a. Scott Firstein. Hello, sir.
Hello there.
How are you?
Fantastic. It's a great day.
It's good to have you on board. Thanks for joining us. So Just Scott is your artist name, of course. We should say that.
Yes, it is.
Excellent. So Just Scott, just on the show. It's great to finally get you on. I've been loving your music for a while, mate. And you've got new stuff to share with us soon. Before we get into all that, can you describe the backdrop for us? There's a fantastic scene behind you here.
Oh, this is my living room. So we've got a couple guitars hanging. The guitar is actually my wedding book. We had everybody sign one of my guitars.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yep. And the other guitar was a present from an ex-girlfriend that I decided to retire, and I got a band to sign it from out here.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yes, it looks like a very nice couple of guitars. What a cool idea to get everyone for the wedding to sign a guitar.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't get to play it any longer, but it gave me a reason to buy another one. So it was pretty good.
That's brilliant. I've just started getting all my guests to sign an acoustic guitar. Unfortunately, as you're in the US, that's going to be very difficult. But if you're ever over here, we'll get you to sign that one.
Oh, absolutely.
So whereabouts in the United States are you, sir?
So I live on a remote island in New York. So, you know, New York has Long Island, and Long Island looks like a fish. And between the two fins or tails, there's another little island called Shelter Island. It's people consider it part of the Hamptons. So it's like going to the Hamptons, but without all the paparazzi. Like if you're a celebrity, you come where I live because you're not going to be bothered.
Aha. I like it. Ahead of the game on the fame stakes.
Exactly.
So you don't get the paparazzi just yet hanging outside your door. No. They will when they find out.
Yeah, I'm going to move in a few years.
Good idea. Yeah. When you got your fame sunglasses on.
Exactly. That's right.
Great to have you on. We've been loving your singles that have been coming out. We just heard My Favorite on Phoenix FM Drive, which was your previous single, I have to say. Till Today, My Favorite. It's a great track. All your music seems really kind of heavily doused in 80s vibe.
Yes. It is. I love the 80s, you know, being a product of the 80s. It was, I had an older brother that was listening to all sorts of music during that time. And the new wave genre just really stuck with me through the years. So I've just come back to my roots, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, did that kind of, you say come back to your roots, did you have a time when you were sort of trying to do different stuff or?
Yeah, you know, so previously when I used to, you know, play music and tour, and before I had kids, it was all very similar, but not synthy. It was more acoustic 80s, and you know, it was during the emo scene. So
yeah,
you know, you're writing about heartbreak, and now I'm blissfully happy, and now I'm, you know, and what better sound other than a keyboard? That's to use that as an example.
Excellent. So you've come full circle, gone back to your roots. Growing up in the 80s, I mean, I'm a 90s kid, so I just look at the 80s and think, man, that sounded great. Like, what happened? Why did it all stop when I came along? But certainly some of my favorite bands are from the 80s. As you're a big 80s fan, I thought we'd have a little go at an 80s quiz if you're feeling lucky. This could be interesting, as obviously you are in the US, and this is from an English newspaper. So full disclosure, you might struggle, but
we'll give it a shot.
Let's give it a go. Sensible answers, not necessarily encouraged. So feel free to freestyle, but play along at home if it's safe and convenient to do so. Just Scott versus our Phoenix FM listeners. Question one, who sang the title track of the 80s Bond film The Living Daylights?
Oh crap.
Strong start.
I mean, Duran Duran did one. It wasn't that one, I don't think. That was A View to a Kill, I think. Or
yes.
Oh, this is tough.
I think, as lots of people say, it's the best thing about the film is the song.
Oh boy. This is rough. I'm not sure.
He's gonna
buzz
pass.
Out.
The buzz out. It was aha.
Aha.
They're living. Aha.
Aha.
I didn't know that. I feel like I should give you half a point for getting all the other facts right.
it's a good one.
Add Duran Duran.
not going to forget that now.
Okay. Number two of our 80s quiz. Now forever associated with the Foo Fighters and Rick Rolling, which 1987 Rick Astley song became number one in 25 countries?
Never going to give you up.
Oh, very good. Yes.
All right.
Oh, we got a Rick Astley song in. Love it. Question three. Which single gave Whitney Houston her first UK number one in 1985?
Oh, boy. Oh, this 1985. This is really far back. I was only nine.
Yeah, that's you probably weren't keeping notes at that point.
Yeah, that's pre-Bodyguard. That's oof.
Yeah, I think so.
That's hard. That is really hard. I should take a want to dance with somebody or
no, it was unlucky. Good guess though. Good guess. Saving All My Love for You.
Oh, that was the one I couldn't get. I kept on coming up with Mariah Carey songs.
It's what happens, isn't it? You get this song in your head and you're like, that's not even the right one, but it's stuck in your head. And then can't get it out.
That was a tough one.
Okay, question four. What was the best-selling single of the whole of the 1980s in the UK?
Oh, in the UK. Best-selling single. Oh. I'm just going to throw some nonsense out there and say Tainted Love, Soft Cell.
Oh, it would have been better, I think, actually. it was the charity Christmas single by Band Aid. They know it's Christmas?
I didn't even think about holidays.
I know. Yeah.
That is such a great one.
It tops every chart, but I feel like it should be disqualified because it's only played at Christmas. Like, you can't play it.
I should have known that. It's a great one.
Out of the two, I'd probably play Soft Cell. versus Band-Aid, to be honest, but there we go.
That was a Band-Aid, right?
Question five. Okay. Which famous actor was waiting for Bananarama in 1984?
Was waiting for Bananarama in 1984? What does that mean?
That is a very coded question, and you'll only even get it if you know the answer. If you don't know the answer, it's no hope in hell.
1984 is the year that Karate Kid came out, so I'm going to say Ralph Macchio.
Oh, close. It's Robert De Niro.
Oh, so close.
Oh, so what? Close.
Why?
Why? Well, they did a song called Robert De Niro's Waiting.
God, did they really?
Which totally makes sense if you know that. If you don't know that, that is a random question.
I was just thinking Cruel Summer because it was in Karate Kid. Didn't know that. You are really pulling out the obscurity.
I mean, thank you to the Times for pulling out some curveballs here.
That's good.
Okay, we have question number eight. Which iconic Simple Minds song plays during the opening and closing credits of the film The Breakfast Club?
Don't You Forget About Me.
Oh, yes, indeed. Nailed it.
All right.
There we go. Back in the game. We're back in the game.
We're in the game. So you're saying there's a chance.
There's a chance. Can we get to 5 points? I think we got it. We're on. Okay. Which 1981 Journey song failed to crack the UK top 40 on release, but then reached number six in 2009?
Probably Don't Stop Believing.
Yes, it was indeed. Yeah. Look at that. Making a big comeback. I don't know. I mean, I think it was in some TV show.
Oh, yes.
Was it?
Well, it was in Glee, I think.
Glee, that was it.
It was a big TV show.
That kind of, put it back. I think it's ruined it, really. I thought I preferred it before. But,
oh, yeah. So hearing that song a cappella is really weird.
Yeah, yeah. You need to, I mean, why would you take that piano out?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, this is for the big number four. Right. Who is the lead singer of the band Frankie Goes to Hollywood?
Oh, crap. Oh man, that is I'm trying to relax right now and think.
See what you did there. See
Yeah, I don't have it, but he looks like Simon Le Bon a little bit or whatever.
They do look alike. Yeah, there was a definite 80s singer style.
It's
He shares one name with the lead singer of AC/DC, if that helps.
oh
Specifically the surname.
surname. I don't know. O'Toole. No. Mark O'Toole. No, I'm just making things up
Just
now.
making up names. It was
I think
hot.
these are names of the band, but I'm just not sure of. Oh,
Oh,
I'm buzzing out.
buzzing out past. It was Holly Johnson.
Oh,
Holly Johnson.
God.
Unlucky. Unlucky. Okay, so this is for the four. The final question. I believe in you, Scott. You can do this. This is the one.
I had to Google that later. See if I get
In
any of those names right.
which iconic music video did Queen parody the popular UK sitcom Coronation Street?
Oh, crap.
That's
I
a
don't know the name.
weird way to ask basically the question, which one did they dress up like women?
Well, it's not another one bites the dust is like very dominatrix. Oh man.
Think
Trying to
Freddie
think of
Mercury ironing
Freddie Mercury videos.
and doing the washing up and using a Hoover and
This is not easy.
oh.
I'm gonna go with no, it's not Bohemian Rhapsody. I'm not gonna get this one right. Not a chance. All right, tell me.
It was I Want to Break Free.
Oh,
Oh, I'm gonna have to
I didn't
watch
even
the
know there was
video
a
now.
music video for that. What year was that?
That's a good shout. I would guess 84. I don't know. No,
It's
see,
right.
I failed your quiz. That's it. I'm out.
That is tough. I listen to all of that music still to this day, but music videos have kind of died and you don't really see them
Yeah.
any longer
No, you
unless
don't.
you Google or YouTube.
You have to physically go and look them up, don't you? Or watch some really late night TV show that just shows you a little bit of each video.
Right, 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 right.
Countdown of the top 180 songs no one's heard anymore.
Oh man, that's a tough one. These are some good questions, but really difficult.
Well, you did well, considering you're on the other side of the pond, and they were some tough questions there. 4 points. Well done, Scott.
I is there a consolation prize? Is there one more question?
One more question.
Oh
Is there one more question? Can we think of another question? I'm trying to just randomly off the top of my head. Okay. Right, here we go. This one's easy to kind of guess, I suppose. I'll give you a point if you get it. 3 points if you get it right. And a couple of points if you're close. How old were George Michael and Andrew Ridgeley of Wham when they wrote Careless Whisper?
19.
Oh, you were 2 years out. 17 years old.
Oh man.
That was a very careless whisper. They were very young to be
That
singing about
was
such.
that's pretty deep, yeah.
That is, isn't it? I don't think
17.
I even went to discos and danced until I was 18.
Right. I never drink yet. It's really interesting. That's really good. Very
Yeah.
impressive.
I'll give you a couple of points anyway for getting close.
Awesome.
We'll round it up to 6 points. Well done,
All
Scott.
right.
Well done. With a bonus five
That
for
makes
taking
me
part.
like a 50% student. That's good.
Yeah,
I'll
yeah,
take
yeah. That's all
it for
good. That's all good. Right, back to your music. Thanks for playing along. That was fun.
Yes, that was really a lot of fun.
Your 80s vibe is clearly visible in the artwork on your singles as well as the sound. They look amazing.
Thank you.
The 80s revival feels like a real thing at the moment. Bands like The Weeknd really bringing back that kind of synth vibe. You've got a couple of guitars hanging there. Your music is heavily synth based. What instruments do you play, and what where does your songwriting start?
I play the guitar. I dabble with the keyboard. obviously.
Yeah.
A little bit of bass, but that's about it. That's as far as my my talents go. I always wanted to play the piano. My brother got the lessons. I didn't get those lessons.
Oh.
So the trumpet, it was for a few years, and that was awful for me. it was bad.
Yeah, the trumpet's a kind of instrument that either you're good at it or you're really, really bad at it. Isn't
yeah, it was bad. I was like the fifth chair in the band at school, and there were only three chairs, so I was sitting somewhere on the outside of the stadium. You know, it was
nearest the door. Yeah,
it wasn't good. It wasn't good.
But it gave you a grounding, I suppose, in performing in a band and together with other musicians.
It did. It did. And I was often, you know, I played in a few bands, you know, in high school and in college. And it was often the rhythm guitarist and background vocals. And, you know, I would write some songs, too. And I liked that. It was a lot of fun. I learned playing the guitar from my father, watching him. And he always just basically played Beatles songs. So
nice.
First song I learned was Eleanor Rigby.
Yes.
Yep. So, yeah. So rhythm guitar was, you know, it's pretty simple to when you're playing Beatles songs, not simple to play Beatles songs, but
wow.
I didn't have to, you know,
it's
you could play
every, chords, isn't it?
Right. You could play every Beatles song with just chords. You don't have to play a lead guitar to play Beatles songs. So, they were my foundation. That's where I got started.
Nice. And what made you kind of want to take those songs you'd written and then take the front stage and put yourself out there as the lead artist?
You know, we had this really cool band, and we wrote our own songs. We played parties, and we'd also play some covers. And the lead singer just disappeared. He just vanished. Still, I've never seen anything about him since. No social media, nothing.
Oh,
and he was wonderful. He kind of sounded like Gavin Rossdale a little bit, you know, from Bush. Oh, nice. Just disappeared. So my brother and I, we just started writing together, and we would just do like a two-part type harmony thing with our band. And I guess it was just because we needed somebody to sing. You know?
Yeah.
So that's where
someone's got to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And
amazing. So you've never heard of the other guy since?
No,
I'm gonna come back and go, hey, I'm back in the band, guys.
Yeah, he's never showed up. I've never seen him again.
Oh,
hopefully he's well.
Oh, so yeah, I mean, I hope so. He's hopefully right? Enjoying your new music and going, hey, look, Scott's got it covered. So tell us a little bit about the latest track you've released, Take Back the Night. It comes out tomorrow. I absolutely love this. It's got such a great synth line in it. It reminds me of 100% 1980s.
Yep. You know, so often I write about what I know, and it's usually, you know, love, heartbreak, and just happiness and all that stuff. I started watching the news again, and, you know, I stopped at one point because it's just so depressing.
Oh God, yeah.
You know, everything. There's no like happy pieces. When you turn on the news, it's just everything that's going wrong.
Yeah.
And you know, I've got three little boys at home, kids, and everything that was just going on is just going to be terrible for them in the future if we don't fix it. And you know, whether it's forest fires, women's rights. You know, just anything that you turn on the news and listen to, it's just terrible. You know, refugees, and it's everything's just awful right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And the only way we can fix it is by us doing something about it and not being complacent. And that's what Take Back the Night is, just covering all these types of horrible things that are happening right now that we all have control over. And you know, we have to take it back. We have to fight against the system and make it better for everybody so that our kids or the next generations, they're not dealing with things like with women's rights, what's happening right now in America, right? You know, it's just insane. So, it was pretty much the first, I don't know if you'd call it political, but just, it's just eye-opening to see what's happening. And you know, I'm married and I see what's happening. My wife's a really strong woman, and to see just these things that are happening to these women that aren't able to have, that they're having their rights removed. It's almost like living in that TV show she watches, Handmaid's Tale, you know, it's just,
yeah. It's unbelievable to see these sort of things change, isn't it? And I think that's great to you know, that you say it's a political song, but it's got that real kind of uplifting and kind of positive edge to it, like stuff like some of the I'm trying to think of similar songs that do the same sort of thing, but you listen to it and by the end of the song you feel like yeah we should take back that night. You've inspired us.
You know, it's got that while it's quite serious in lyrics, it's also a lot of fun. You know, I can't write a depressing song. It's just not in me. So it's still got that pop, that synth pop, happy kind of drive with it. And I added guitars in it too. Now I started, you know, previous songs didn't have any electric guitars. And now the last two, I've been adding some guitars to it and bringing back some of my old roots too with the music. But yeah,
fantastic. You're bringing in your guitars as well. What's that been like to kind of bring back some of your musical roots into what you do?
Oh, it's a lot of fun. You know, so we had this superstorm in, I think it was 2011. It was called Sandy. I don't know if you guys, if it came your way or what, but it was superstorm.
It rings a bell. We usually get a few bins blow over when it gets over here. So not quite as bad. Yeah.
So my wife and I, we had a home in another place, and the basement was where I kept all my gear, and it flooded about 7 feet, and the basement was 8. Oh, so we obviously evacuated, but everything in there got destroyed, and I hadn't played an electric guitar since.
No.
So I bought some equipment again, and it's fun using that distortion pedal again.
You know, yeah.
Hearing that hum, that buzz.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
You mentioned the effects and the distortion pedal you've got on your guitar, but I think you can hear it in the synth as well. It's so really well kind of produced and put together. The tracks that you're bringing out have got such a great kind of production to them. Is that something you've had a hand in as well?
So, you know, I work on all the tracks myself, and then I've got an engineer that does the mixing and the mastering. While, you know, I'll mix it to the best of my ability, and I'll show him what I'm going for as far as what's important in the track.
Yeah.
And he brings it out. He's a fabulous artist as well. His name's Ghost Effects. Ghost Effects. And he's worked on all sorts of synth poppy, indie pop music. And he really gets my vision. So I give him the tracks, he mixes it and masters it, sends it back. And I usually say, well, we don't need to do anything else. That was perfect. Or, you know, maybe it's like, you know, can you lower my voice a little bit because the music's better, or, you know, something like that. You know?
Yeah. It's nice to work with someone like that. You can kind of, it gets your vision. As must be difficult to find as an artist when you, I've tried myself to put things together, but never with any actual musical talent, but putting your tracks together and trying to create the vision you have in your head isn't always possible by yourself, and you need the help to communicate that with someone is great when it happens.
It's nice when you have somebody like that. Honestly, a lot of people, COVID was really awful for a lot of people. I say it like it's the past, but it's not, because my son is in a class with somebody that just got it, and now he has to wear a mask for 10 days at school.
Oh, no. But,
you know,
still around.
A couple years ago, it was really awful. And that's when I bought a keyboard. So for me, you know, it all began again.
Amazing. So relatively recently got back into the fray.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, I can't wait to hear what comes next then, if this is all relatively recent, because it sounds like you've been doing amazing stuff for years. So what's coming next for us? Is this a taster of more things to come?
Yep. There's a song called Bad Guys will be coming out in the middle of November. Just got it back from my engineer, and it sounds fantastic.
Nice.
It's a fun song. It's not political at all. It's just about that guy that's pretending to be, you know, like a bad boy to get the girl. And
we all know one of them.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you have to go that route. But at the end, she finds out that he's really just a good guy in disguise. So
awesome. So that's coming out in November.
Yep, middle of November. A couple weeks, 2-3 weeks.
Amazing stuff. Can't wait to hear it. Scott, thanks so much for joining us. We're going to play out with your new track, Take Back the Night. I'm pleased to hear you're taking back the music, the keyboard, the guitar and everything. It sounded awesome. Cheers for taking part in our 80s quiz. You did amazingly well.
You did famously terrible.
You did average. Great to talk to you, Scott. We'll speak to you soon.
Thank you so much.
See you. the count.